Welcome to Living Free Today, a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship, San Lorenzo, California. Today's message is entitled, The Reformation, Glory to God Alone, from the books of Jude chapter 24 and 25, Romans chapter 16 verses 25 through 27, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verses 16 through 17, Book of Psalms chapter 96 verses 1 through 9, and Revelations 7 and 12. This message was first preached on January 29th, 2017. We hope you enjoyed this message by Dr. Michael Wilson.
500 years ago, Martin Luther was a monk in Germany. And in 1515, he decided to visit the capital of the Roman Catholic Church in Rome. And when he got there, as we talked about last week, he found all sorts of nastiness and the fact that you could pay money before you sinned in order to gain permission, as it were, to sin. He also found when he was there that there were chants and songs and prayers that in many ways gave glory to the church and its traditions. There were chants that priests would do, thanking the history of the church, basically, for being so wise and having the traditions which were, in their minds, necessary for salvation. There were, of course, songs and prayers praising the wisdom of the Pope and praising the wisdom and the support, even today, of the various saints, Peter and Paul and those types of saints that had gone before, for the belief back then was that you could not live a Christian life without the active support of the dead saints. And so when he turned to Germany, he pondered these things and he studied the Bible, particularly the book of Romans, and he came up with what we call the five solas or the five alones: Scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone. And because Scripture is the only revelation of God that we have that is true, that we can go back to and refer to, and in that revelation, Christ is the only means of salvation that is described, and we receive it through grace by faith. And these, he said, were obviously God-centered things that an organization may distribute this truth, but is not necessary for salvation. This church is a light in the darkness, and we talk about these truths, but if this church was not here, you could still be saved, because these things come from God, and God can give them to everybody and anybody he wants to. And so Luther's fifth and final alone was, we need to give glory to God alone. We need to focus on God, realize what he has done, and glorify him and praise him alone. Not a church, not a church leader, not tradition. We glorify God and God alone. And so the difficulty back 500 years ago was that people gave glory willy-nilly, as it were, in the church, because the whole church structure, the whole church campus, if you will, was the distributor of the faith, and therefore that faith without the church could not be distributed. And so glory to the Catholic Church as well as glory to God, and Luther saw that as one difficulty that needed to be corrected. And so it is in the churches, Protestant churches that came out, and the songs, and like the songs we sang today, none of them praise the American Baptist, none of them praise the Baptist movement in America. They are all Christ-focused and God-focused, and that comes out of the teaching and the discoveries, if you will, in the Bible that Luther brought to the Protestant Reformation. And so in many ways we are standing upon him, and if he were here today, he would smile. He would be happy. One question that we have to ask is what is glory? We talk about glory to God, and what is glory? We read 5 scriptures today. You think, wow, that's a lot. But those 5 scriptures are all of the category of a doxology. Doxology is a Greek word that comes from 2 words. Dox or doxo means glory, and ology means knowledge or words. And so those passages specifically contained words of glory to God. And there are 21 such doxologies in the scriptures. 9 of them are in the book of Psalms. And when we look at them, they especially when Paul would write them in the middle of Romans, or Jude would write it at the end of his book, you get the idea that these people were being carried along, as the Bible says, inspired and writing truths that they may not have even conceived of prior to writing them. And then they're just taken by such emotion at what they're writing that they begin to just write praises to God right in the middle of their letter. And then some of them, like Jude, that's the end of the book. Some of them, like Romans, Paul would then go on and tell some other truths, and then 5 chapters later have another one. And of course, God is inspiring those also, and even though we read them and they look kind of out of place and an emotional outburst, we know that God is putting those in Scripture so that we can, as it were, understand the relationship between people and God. Our goal in this life is to glorify God. And when we talk about glory, we know in the Old Testament, it was a very simple word that literally meant shiny. That if God was glorified, He was shining. And we have over the tabernacle and then the temple this thing called the Shekinah glory of God. Shekinah is a word that kind of means shimmering or sparkling. And so it was the sparkling shininess of God. And when we think today, in today's language, when something is shiny, it usually means that it is lifted up, maybe put on a pedestal, and a light is shined on it, that attention is given to it. And we can see that in the Old Testament, that when good attention, that when good things are said about God, that is called giving Him glory. And when we read through the passages, the doxologies in Scripture, they were talking about His faithfulness and His goodness and our thanksgiving toward Him. And He's immortal and invisible and all-powerful. And these are things that we can say about God. And when we say them and they're true, then we give God glory. That if we say them in a church or amongst other people, we are in many ways shining a light on God and saying, look how good He is. Look how wonderful He is. And in that way, we give Him glory. And so we can think of doxology as a response of praise to what God has done. That when we read through Scripture or you look at your own life, God has done things. God has saved you. Perhaps you can enumerate other blessings that God has done. And when you ponder your salvation, when you ponder the cross, when you ponder what God has done for you, our response then is to give words of glory back to God, is to say things great about Him, that when we consider our relationship to Him, we need to be the type of people who will stand up and say true, great things about God. We praise Him, we glorify Him, we adore Him, we serve Him, we minister and bless him with our words. And in this way, we are in the proper relationship of God, our God, and us, the saved servant. And we need to be a people who will glorify God. And when we think of Martin Luther, he was specifically thinking about the idea of salvation, that I don't glorify any other organization or any other person for the fact that I'm saved. That always goes to God. And if we look at churches today, even Catholic churches, Protestant churches, any Bible-believing church that is out there, you would see their activities like our activities to put God at the forefront. We don't claim anybody or anything else is involved in our salvation, and therefore if I am thankful for my salvation, then it will go to God and God alone. But the question needs to be asked, I only have so much ability to give glory. I only have so much, my flashlight only has so many batteries to shine on God and to give God the glory. And the question is, can I, on issues other than salvation, give glory and praise to things of the world? Can I, when I'm pleased with a great scrumptious meal, can I praise the hands that cooked it? Or do I have to, in every situation, always see God as the source, always see God as the source of all blessings? If you were to read back the writings of Luther and later the Puritans in the 16 and 1700s, they would say, never bow to anything but God. Never applaud anything or anyone but God. Never cheer anyone but God, because they saw God as the source of all goodness, and as the source of all goodness, then he gets glory for everything. And as we sang, when life is plentiful or when life is a desert, we still need to give glory to God in everything and in anything. But as with most things with God, our world has gotten a bit askew. What do you mean, you say? Well, next week there's going to be an event. And the event is going to be Super Bowl 51, Super Bowl LI 51. And it's in Houston. And I have two nephews and a niece in Houston. And I have talked with them, and they say it's a madhouse. Even now, even a week before, they will not go downtown, because downtown is a zoo, because everybody wants to be involved. And this is, in many ways, and arguably the most watched TV show in the world, that millions, tens of millions of people will be glued to their TVs next week, and they will watch, and there will be a degree of glory given to those who make a phenomenal catch. There will be a degree of glory given to those who score well in the last minutes. And of course, the ultimate glory will be given, including a Ford truck, I believe, to the winner of the game. And people will speak of this game all summer until they get to do it again next winter. And it is all about shining a light, if you will, on great athletic prowess. And the question that needs to be asked is, do they deserve any glory? Or do I, in my looking at how the world is, realize that we have gotten a bit off track, that all athletic prowess, all Olympic gold medalers, all great home run hitters, all great NBA shooters, all of them get their skill and their ability, whether they realize it or not, from God Almighty. And it is God Almighty who gives them the ability to put on a show and gives me the ability to enjoy it. But if I look at it and say, no, I want to be like that, I'm jealous. I now envy those who are doing that. then I am taking glory that truly belongs to God, and I'm putting it on me, because I'm shining a light on me and what I am missing and what I want to be. And that's how the world becomes. And we look at the politics, and it's all about picking a spokesperson, putting them up on a pedestal we call TV, and shining a light on them. And if they're eloquent or clever or angry enough, then they will appear on every TV show. And we are giving people who are really quite sinful in public great glory as a society. And we need to realize that all authority, even the political authority, comes from God, and that they are only allowed to stand on that pedestal and get that spotlight for a little while because God is sharing his authority. But Scripture is clear that God never shares his glory. Any glory that is meant for God must never be put on a person or an organization. So can we enjoy things? Sure. Sometime this month, I think, or maybe March, or I don't know, there's another contest called the Oscars, in which people who pretend to be other people, and they're very good at it, we give them glory. And this is, compared to the Super Bowl, the same number of people will watch them. For the last 2 years, it was a tie. Super Bowl and Oscars, we all love to watch these and give people glory. And people will laugh, and they will cry, and they will clap, and they will say, what a great person, because of this portrayal of a queen or something. And I think these two extremes of sports ability and acting ability, and then everything in between, is where our country gets confused about glory, where we think that if I can get close to this actor, that my life will be better. And that's why people line the red carpet as they walk down toward the theater. Well, this will occur. They want to get touched. Excuse me. By somebody famous, because they think the fame will rub off on them. But nobody, no matter what the world says, is more famous than God. And if we try to get a little closer to God, maybe a little bit of fame will rub off of him. Now, when we talk about us giving glory, as I said, that is a limited capability. We have the ability to praise people and praise things, to say things are good, to say we like things. Now, we're allowed to have preferences. We're allowed to say, I like chocolate ice cream more than vanilla ice cream, without glorifying chocolate ice cream. We can do that. But we need to be careful how we lift things up in our speech, how we praise things in our speech, that things are so great, they're the best thing in the universe. Well, that's only God. And if we get into a proper relationship, giving our glory to God, and to God only in all things, then God will do something that the world cannot do. And that is, he will polish you up a little bit and reflect his glory off of you into the world. It's not our glory. We didn't earn anything. But as followers of Jesus Christ and worshipers of God, we do and can reflect his glory in the same way that we are not the sun, S-U-N, that's God. We are the moon. If the sun weren't there, we would never see the moon. It'd be a dark rock in space. But because the sun is so bright, the moon reflects the sun, the light of the sun. And in the same way, we become reflectors of God's glory. And the plan is, if we speak of God greatly, if we talk of God in a glorifying way. He will show himself through us, through his glory, to the people around. And that will give us an opportunity to explain who God is. Not that we're any great thing, not that I'm a big shiny guy, but that God is, and he's reflecting off of me. But what do? We look at contests, and that's what the Super Bowl and the Oscars are at their core. It is a contest to say which human being is better than all the rest of the human beings. But in God's eyes, whether it be a cooking contest or an acting contest or a sporting contest, all of these contests, and it's interesting that contests, not dramas, not comedies. You realize how sitcoms have gone the way of the dodo? We don't have many of those anymore, but we got a lot of contests. We got a lot of this person's better than that person. And we look at it and we cheer them on and we say, yes, that person is better than that person is better than that person. And we rank people based on the contests that they get involved in. But the truth is, when it comes to God's glory, we got nothing. We can be the best athlete in the world, and my little light of athleticism is so dim compared to God that when God's in the room, nobody's going to notice me. But we make these pyramids to human ingenuity on TV with trophies and $10,000 prizes and the CHOP championship that's $50,000, and that's just great stuff. But who knows who was the champion, you know, 5 years ago? Who knows who was the champion 2 months ago? There are, of course, people who can name every quarterback that ever played at every Super Bowl. But the average person who won the Super Bowl in 1961, I don't know. I do not know, but some people do. But what my point is, champions grow old and die. And there will be a great, great quarterback winner next week. And eventually, he will grow old and he will die. And the champions will be no more. But God remains. And as God remains, his light shines all the brighter. Because people of earth can never, ever, ever outshine him. You're never going to go to a place where God is being glorified and talk about football. You're never going to go to a place where God is being glorified and talk about the Oscars. It just doesn't happen. When God is being glorified, he outshines all the other really tiny lights. And we just need to make sure that's true, that we don't mix God's glory with the glory of football, with the glory of acting. And so what do we do with this? Yes, we can look at what we say, and we can look at what we do, and we can make sure that we are glorifying God properly. But there's a practice that seemed to have started with the Puritans and has gone through history, and that is creating a personal doxology. If you are here and you are saved, you have great things to say about God because you are in eternity with him. Grab a piece of paper and write one sentence of praise words to God, of words that glorify God. Don't put any personal pronouns in it. It isn't about you. It isn't about me. It isn't about I. It's all about God. And if you say, well, I don't know what you mean. Well, look in your bulletin. There are 5 examples of doxologies in the order of service that were read today. And if you want to know how God writes them things about himself in the Bible, there they are. But the best thing to do is ponder salvation, ponder what God has done to you, and write a sentence or a string of words that isn't even a sentence that glorifies God. And then you can put that in your Bible. You can put that in your notepad. And start your prayer time with that. Start your, if you're going to go to a big meeting or a doctor's appointment, say that over and over and learn to expand it. And perhaps over a period of time, you may have three sentences or even a paragraph. And if you have a paragraph, well, then you're really glorifying God, and you can, in any situation, pull that out and glorify God for who He is, for what He's done. Shine a light on Him, put Him on a pedestal, and tell the world and your own heart what a great God He is and all He has done. A personal doxology, or a doxology that has come out of you through the power of God, is a great way to keep your mind focused on God and focused on His glory. And you can read it while you're watching the Super Bowl, and you can read it while you're watching the Oscars, and keep things in perspective that, yeah, that's a great athlete, but compared to God, he's got nothing. We need to realize that ultimately, in every situation, our salvation and everything else, God gets all the glory, because God did it all, God made it all, and God allows you to enjoy it. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, I just praise you for this day. I just praise you that you are someone who has given us understanding, that you are glorified, that we can glorify you in every situation, that we can glorify you no matter who wins or who loses or what's on TV, you get all the glory. And Lord, we praise you for that. And we ask your blessing upon the remainder of the day. We ask this through the blood of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Living Free Today. This has been a ministry of Cornerstone Fellowship located at 180 Llewellyn Boulevard, San Lorenzo, California, 94580. Email us for more information at info@livingfreetoday.org. Our website is www.livingfreetoday.org. Our telephone number is 510-278-2622. If you're looking for a church, come visit us on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. for Bible study and at 10:45 Sunday morning. God bless you as you live daily in His presence. This has been Deacon Luis Ramazzini, Living Free Today.